Hello, everyone. We're starting a new book today, and that will be 1 Corinthians. So today's passage will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll read that for us. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of his age, of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen. In this first chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, Paul addresses one thing right off the bat. After his normal greetings and thanksgivings, he addresses the division that seems to be going on amongst the Corinthian Christians. People were arguing over who to follow, and maybe there were small theological differences that the Corinthians found about how these different teachers taught. And because of that, people were claiming, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos. But Paul reminds these Corinthians that Christ, and thus the body of Christ, is not divided. And definitely, these small differences are not worth being divided over. Instead, Paul brings them back to the foundation of the gospel message, which is the crux of everything, a simple message, yet one with endless power. And this foundation of the gospel is what Paul dwells on in this first chapter, a profound way to kick off this letter to the Corinthian church. The gospel, the message of the cross, is everything. There's nothing worth more, nothing that's more powerful, nothing more important than the message of the cross. Christ crucified is the wisdom and power of God. But to a lot of the Jews and Greeks of the time, Paul says this simple gospel message is a stumbling block to them. Starting in verse 22, he says, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles." Reading this, you might think to yourself, how could someone view the primary message of the Christian faith as a stumbling block or as folly? Paul gives a simple answer to that in verse 18, where he says, For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. And then in verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." In other words, there were many people who just didn't want to let go of what they wanted over the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. For the Jews, they had probably a certain vision of what salvation was supposed to look like. And this was probably something that looked much grander on the outside than Christ crucified on a cross. For the Greeks, they sought worldly wisdom in philosophy and intellectualism that refused to accept the simplicity of the message of Christ crucified. To them, the gospel became foolishness. However, Paul says, "But to us who are being saved, it being the gospel message is the power of God." To those who humble themselves and accept the message of the cross, this gospel message is worth everything. It is the highest of wisdom, the greatest treasure. Again, this is a very simple reminder from the Apostle Paul, yet the most profound. Paul reminds us through this passage to hold on to Christ, who is the wisdom and power of God. Let's remember the cross and all of its implications. Let's put away our own wisdom that often brings division among our own people, and instead rely on the wisdom of the cross. Let's cling onto the message of the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this simple reminder of the gospel, the simplest of messages, yet the most powerful the world has ever seen. We want to rededicate, we want to recommit to the message of the cross. I pray that we would let go, Lord, of any selfish ambition or reliance on worldly wisdom that we might be tempted to cling to. May we not let that get in the way of the unity, Lord, we're called to uphold as brothers and sisters in Christ. Instead, Lord, may we seek all wisdom and power in the message of the cross. Lord, strike our hearts once again with the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.